Hallelujah. Go over to Psalm 77. Psalm chapter number 77. And we'll start here and just see which runway we land on. Amen. Praise God. Y'all got quiet since I left. Amen. So help me out here a little bit this morning. Remember, you have a part in this service, right? You told me that at the beginning of the service, so you have a part in this service. Praise the Lord. Psalm chapter number 77. The psalmist here, if you read this whole passage, let's see here. Psalm chapter number 73, actually. I think it is. Let's see if I can find it here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm chapter number 73. Look with me. I must be looking right at it, and for some reason it's just not jumping off the page at me. There's a verse in one of these passages here. Somebody can find it maybe. It says, I remembered God and was troubled. Remember the Bible said that? I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. You remember that? 70 what? 77:3. There it is. I was looking down too far. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Say that out loud. When a man complains. See, we're not complainers. But when a man complains, it affects his spirit.
Right. It affects his spirit.
You see that?
Yes. Yeah.
And how many of you know when you complain, you don't do it with your elbow, your big toe, your heel, your ear? You don't do it with your shoulder. Anybody that complains, they do it with their mouth. So he's talking about the effect of his words on the effect of the words of his mouth on his spirit. Amen. And to be honest with you, your words have more effect on your spirit than any words you hear anybody preach.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Because you believe what you say more than you believe what anybody else says.
Right. Come on. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So he said, I said something and it affected my spirit. In this case, he's talking about complaining. Well, if that works for complaining, it'll work for anything else. I like to say it this way. If you can affect your own spirit by the words of your mouth in the negative direction, you can affect it in the positive direction.
Yes.
Now, let's take for example, the Bible said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Yeah.
What if you keep saying what the word says?
Yeah.
Huh? It'll get on the inside. It'll affect your spirit. It'll get planted in your spirit. It'll become something that begins to grow on the inside of you. It'll become revelation to you. Hallelujah. Well, I've just now seems like our whole family, we never had anything, you know, my family, my grandpa, he grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. We all lived on the wrong side of the tracks. We've never had anything. Nobody's had any education. We just never have succeeded. Nobody's had anything financially. Well, just keep saying that because and you'll get it. You'll keep on because your spirit will begin to produce that.
That's right. That's right. That's
your words will affect your own spirit.
Yes, it will. That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Your words will affect your own spirit. Now go over to the book of Proverbs, and now I want you to see this. There's a whole lot of verses about this, but look here at Proverbs chapter number 18. This is a familiar verse, but maybe we'll see it in a little different light here this morning. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it, now the word love literally in the Hebrew means befriend it, shall eat the fruit thereof. So from the context, whatever you befriend, he's saying whatever you keep saying is what's hanging around you like a friend. So when your words are in line with the word of God, let's go back to verse number 20 there. Let's just start out where we started. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. So he's talking about the words of our mouth. The words of our mouth. When a man keeps saying something, notice he said his belly will be satisfied with that. Or at the end of the verse, he'll be filled with that. He'll be filled with that. Well, I've always looked at that, and nothing wrong with this. There's really two ways you could look at this. I've always looked at this verse, a man's belly like my stomach. In other words, if I want to eat good, I got to talk abundance. Right? And that's true, absolutely. Nothing wrong with that. But what about the spirit of man's the candle of the Lord searching all the inward parts of the belly? A man's belly, how about this? A man's belly is where, remember Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. This spoke he of the Spirit. How many of you know the Holy Ghost is living in your spirit?
That's right.
And that's where he said, that's where, and your spirit's not up on your shoulders, your spirit's down here, yeah. down here, right. you know, in your core of your being. Right. That's why he said belly.
Right.
And he's referring back to the Old Testament, the spirit of man's the candle of the Lord searching all the inward parts of the belly. Right? So he's talking about the spirit. All right. Now let's apply that to this verse. Notice he said, a man's belly. Let's put it this way. A man's spirit shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. So you can get full of something by talking about it all the time. By talking about it all the time. And that's exactly what he said. Remember the Bible said in Matthew chapter number 12, he said, out of your heart, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks.
Right.
Yes. Amen. Right. What does that mean, out of the abundance of the heart? In other words, whatever you get in you in abundance. You can get all sorts of things. You can get weakness in there. You can get fear in there. You can get lack in there. You can get sickness in there. And the way you get it in there is you keep talking about it.
That's right.
Amen. And see, you keep listening and talking the word. That's what really, to be honest with Joshua 1:8 is talking about. It's talking about meditating in the word. And it includes that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night.
Yeah.
Not depart out of your mouth, meditate.
Yep.
So part of meditation is your mouth. So whenever you meditate in the word, you're talking the word with your mouth, and that'll get in you. It'll get in you in abundance.
Yeah.
And then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Right.
Amen.
Yes, in other words, whenever you say it now, it's going to be not just meditation, it's going to be faith.
Right.
And whenever you speak that faith, then he said, let's go back there to Matthew 12. I'm just going to go around the airport. We'll get there. Look at what it says here in Matthew 12, verse number 34. Oh, generation vipers, how can you be an evil, speak good things? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth. You underline that brings forth.
Mm-hmm.
Say that out loud. Brings forth.
Brings forth.
A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of the heart brings forth. Say that brings forth.
Brings.
What does he mean, brings forth? In other words, it'll come into manifestation in his life.
Yeah. Right.
And where did it come? It came out of what got on the inside of him and he spoke.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
And whatever he gets in him and through meditation, then it'll turn when it gets. You know this, whenever the word of God finally comes in and lands in your spirit and becomes revelation to you, it turns in the different form. It went in as the word of God. It came out as faith. Absolutely. Hallelujah. You plant anything. You take anything you plant. You plant a peach seed or an apple seed or something like that. It'll grow, and it doesn't grow seeds. If you plant a peach, it'll grow a peach.
Right.
Of course, there's a seed in it, but that's not the important part. The important part's the peach.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
So it turned form. It changed form from a peach seed to a peach.
Yeah.
The word of God will do the same thing. You plant it in you. Keep planting the word. Keep planting the word. It'll take on a different form. It'll become faith. And when you say it now, it'll turn form, change forms, and become the very thing you say. And that word in there will bring forth. It'll produce something. Woo, glory be to God. But notice both of these verses in verse 34 and 35 here in Matthew 12. Notice both of them say, out, like in verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And a good man out of the good treasure. So notice that, abundance and treasure. Huh? Yeah. Have you ever watched some of those people that are looking for gold up in Canada or up in Alaska, and they find a little speck of gold right. in their pan?
Yep.
Well, that's gold, but that's not a treasure.
Right,
right.
Right.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. That's just a little bit.
A little bit.
Right?
Yeah.
Huh? That's just a little bit. So they're looking for the mother lode. They're looking for a whole bunch of something. And but have you ever seen some of those shows where some guy, he's looking for something and his pick hits something. Thump. It sounds like, ooh, hollow. Thump. And they dig that thing out. Now, how many of you know some of those things you see on YouTube? They've been planted there before they... So it's not all real, but there have been real things happen,
yeah.
And they find a whole treasure chest of something. I mean, especially over in England, they find things that have been, you know, back in the days of the Vikings or something, you know, and a whole hoard of gold jewelry and all kinds of stuff. I mean, whenever it gets to be a whole hoard, I mean, you know, like 300 pieces of gold or something like that. Now that's a treasure.
That's a treasure.
That little speck in the pan's not a treasure, but now this is a treasure here, right? And so this here he said, get it in you in abundance, for out of the good treasure. See, when it's in you in abundance, it's a treasure. Glory to God. And when it's in you in abundance, it'll bring forth after its kind. Amen. Your spirit is the production center of your life.
Yeah.
You want something in your life? Keep planting it in your spirit. Keep planting it in your spirit. Keep planting it in your spirit.
Yeah. Amen.
Until it's in there in abundance.
In abundance.
Amen.
Glory to God. I said glory to God. So that's, I think, another way you could look at Proverbs chapter 18, where it says a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. A man's spirit will be satisfied. Amen. Your spirit can get full of, really can get full of anything. But I want it to be full of what I want in life. People say, I don't know why my life keeps going this direction. The word's not in you in abundance in that area yet.
That's right. Come on.
That's what Proverbs 4 said. He said, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. Then he said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The issues, the word issues means forces.
Right.
The forces of life. The things that take life in different directions
right.
come out of the inside of a man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. And so if you want it out here, get it in here. How are you going to get it in here? You ever heard the statement, get in the word and the word will get in you? That's what that's talking about. Meditation is the way you get it in you. It shouldn't be that what is preached on Sunday morning, by the time you get home, has already passed through you. You know what I'm talking about? It should be that you lay hold of that and that you meditate and feed your spirit on that as you go through your week. I told you the story a number of years ago. I told you the story about I had, I don't know, somebody had said something about colon cleanses or something like that. And I was on that, so I got something to be on a colon cleanse. And I told, who was it? Some, I think it was a chiropractor or somebody. I told them about it one day. And they said, well, yeah, I used to do that too. But they said, what we found out is that you keep on that daily or regularly. They said, your everything you eat is going to pass through you so quick you won't get all the nutrition out of it. I thought, well, that's not the goal here. You know? So I think I'll change that. Colon cleanses are fine, but just don't live on one. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. A little bit of help there for you. So I said, well, that's not the goal. And then later I was thinking about that. I thought, you know, that's the way a lot of sermons that are preached are. People just stay on a colon cleanse, and it just goes right on through them. You know what I'm talking about? What do I mean, colon cleanse? I mean distractions.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I mean strife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Had a powerful service, and getting a fuss with your wife on the way home.
Come on.
And there goes, great out of you.
Yep.
Amen. We won't get any more graphic, but that's just the way these things are. You got to chew. You got to be like an old cow. Remember the old cow? I grew up on the farm, so you have to forgive me. But the old cow, it'll go over there, it'll eat, and then it'll go over and lay down, and it'll start chewing on. Yeah. It brings that back up and chews on it again.
Right. Yep.
I know it sounds gross, but I'm telling you, there's a lot more in that food.
Yeah, come on.
Praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. So you can school yourself right into faith. Back 30 years ago, probably a little over 30 years ago, I said to the Lord, I said, well, actually, a man, some ministers that we knew of, they got an airplane. And we were glad. We didn't know them real well, but we were glad for them. But I was telling Debbie one day, I don't think this is when we were back in the full-time traveling ministry. I don't think I desire an airplane. And you've heard this story, I know, but you're going to hear it again. Because I'm more stirred up about it today than I was back a year ago. So I said, I said that out of my mouth. I don't think I desire an aircraft for the ministry. Now, I didn't say that because I had any unction. I said that because, you know, that requires faith. So it wasn't something that... you know, I wasn't want to believe God. And you know, unless the Lord deals with you, absolutely, no need to doing something like that. But you know, I said that, walked in the room where she was, and then said that, and then I walked back to the room where I was, and the Lord started talking to me. He said, at that time, we were full-time traveling ministers. He said, what did I call you to do? He said, in ministry, you know, because I was not sure of him. And he said, in ministry. He said, well, you called us to travel. He said, then, according to Isaiah 1:19, what's the good of the land traveling?
Come on.
I said, oh, well, that'd be our own personal airplane. Jet. That'd be our own personal jet.
Yeah.
Right.
And then he said this. He said, if you fulfill my plan and keep stay in my plan, the time will come when you'll need an aircraft to fulfill my plan. And then he said, don't set anything else in motion now.
That's right.
I could preach a year on that. Don't set anything else in motion now. In motion. How many of you know motion? When I think of what he said, I think of like momentum. Setting something in motion, it when you get it in motion, it's got momentum. It's like your car. It takes some acceleration to get it in motion, but then once you get it in motion, It'll kind of like carry its, not completely carry itself, but you can, it'll roll on its own for a good long ways, right? Without extra power. Right? So he said that to me. That statement went all over me, to be honest with you. Don't set anything else in motion. He was telling me that he was telling me it was his plan for us to have the aircraft, for it was going to be necessary to fulfill the plan. But he was also saying, if you start saying something in a different direction than what my plan is, see, I didn't know the plan. That's why I was talking the way I was talking. So you got to be careful about what you say until you find out the plan. But whenever I found out the plan, he said, don't set anything else in motion. He was basically saying, this is my plan here, but if you set it in motion in a different direction, it's going to be very difficult for that to come to pass. Because faith is a spiritual law. Go to the third chapter of Romans and look at the 27th verse, Romans chapter number 3. Anybody interested in walking by faith? The just shall live. The live by faith. Live. Hallelujah. Not just get saved.
Right.
Some people got saved and used their faith to get saved, but never thought about using their faith afterwards.
Right.
But it's just sitting there, just sort of rolled up in a napkin. Yeah. They're going to take it back to Jesus whenever they go to see Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, here's what you gave me. He said, what'd you do with it?
Yeah.
Did you produce the life that I called you to live with that? I gave that to you to bring to pass my plan in your life.
Yes.
Right. Amen. So this is not just for salvation. It's to live by. Four different times in Habakkuk, then in Romans, Galatians, and I think Hebrews. Four different times. The just shall live by faith. That's the just or the righteous.
Yeah.
We're the righteousness of God in Christ. This is God's plan that we live by faith.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Live by faith.
Yes.
Live by faith. Walk in by faith, not by sight.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Now, I had you to go to Romans, right? Romans, the third chapter. Notice it's in the 27th verse, the very last statement. This is a revelation about faith. Romans chapter number 3, verse number 27. Where is boasting then? In other words, he had just talked about keeping the law to be righteous, and that's been done away with. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. The law of faith. Notice that term, the law of faith. He's not saying the law of faith like Moses' law or like the speed limit law.
Right.
That's not the kind of way he's using the word law. Mm-hmm. The word law here is a law like the law of gravity.
Right.
Or the law of some laws of physics or something.
Right.
You know, there's spiritual laws. He's telling us here there are spiritual laws just like there are natural laws.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. And you can do a lot of things in the natural to try to make things work. But if you've got spiritual laws working against you, then spiritual laws are going to win out every single time.
Right.
Ultimately, in the long run, they're going to win out every single time.
Right. Yeah.
And there's one law he mentions here. It's called the law of faith. The law of faith. It's what is a law? A law is something that is the same all the time for everybody.
Amen.
In every situation.
Amen.
It never changes. It never varies. The law of gravity is a good example. It's maybe not the best example. There's other examples that are better for the law of faith. But the law of gravity is an example. If we have 75 people, well, actually, if everybody, we're not going to do this, but if everybody in the congregation today, we all got on the roof after service and checked which one of us the law of gravity would work for, and we all jumped off one at a time. One at a time. We're going to see if the law of gravity is actually a law,
right.
If it's the same for everybody.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. And so those of us that are tall, we're going to go first. I'm not saying me, but every tall person went down. All right. Those of us that are medium height. All right. Every person went. Or those of us that are short little people like him. I mean, like some of us, they all go down.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Hallelujah. Well, let's do this again. And let's take the educated people first. Okay. Educated people jump. Educated people all fall. Okay. People that have a high school diploma. Okay. All of them fell. Those of us that still butcher the English language and don't know how to hardly, we just quit in the eighth grade. You jump. Okay. Everybody fall. Well, see, it must be a law. It's working for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Must be a law. Must not be something that changes.
Right.
It must govern everything all the time.
Right. Right.
In this natural world.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? Well, that's the way the law of faith is.
Right.
It's working for everybody all the time.
Yes.
Some people say, well, it's just not working for me. Oh, yeah, it is just working in the wrong direction.
Come on. That's good.
Just working in the wrong direction.
That's good.
Amen. Well, I don't want it to work that way anymore. Okay, well, then you're going to have to work it in the right direction. That's why I said it's not, the law of gravity is not the best example, because the law of gravity, you don't have to do anything to work it.
Right.
But the law of faith, you do have to do something to work it. A better example of the law of faith would be the law of lift.
Right.
A better illustration is what I'm trying to say. The law of lift. Now, if you've ever looked into it at all, why airplanes fly, it's basically because the distance around the wing on the bottom is different than the distance or the length of travel for air to fly over the wing. It's different over the top than it is over the bottom.
Right.
And that creates a bit of a lift.
Yes.
And isn't that amazing? I mean, some of these big airplanes, what they can lift. Hallelujah. But see, that's a law. It's a law of lift. But see, it doesn't work without... Those airplane wings don't lift that airplane and whatever's on there. It doesn't lift that without the air going over the wings.
Right.
You can't sit on the runway and it work.
Yeah.
Come on.
right? So you have to have air going over the wings. So to get air going, that's why they got either one or two or three big engines, you know, propellers or jets or something that's sucking air into the front and pushing it out the back in order to produce momentum and movement forward. And that the only reason those jets aren't flying the plane, it's the wing, the lift on the plane, on the wings that are flying that plane.
That's right. Amen.
Those jets don't pick that up.
Right.
The wings, the air travel under and over the wings picks it up.
Yes, sir.
Right? And so those jets are pulling the air, or really pulling the machine forward, and so that the air goes over the wings. I know this is all something we understand, but we have to understand, see, spiritual laws by natural laws. Jesus kept using natural illustrations to illustrate spiritual laws. Or spiritual principles.
Yeah.
He said, the kingdom of heaven is as if man casts seed into the ground.
Right.
Or a man casts a net into the water. I mean, he's always using natural illustrations.
Yes.
So we're using one to describe laws.
Yes.
So here's the wing. It's that air's traveling, and it gets to the place where you could actually pull back the yoke and take off. Every aircraft, because of the wings, different on every single one, it has a different speed that wind has to be going over that wing in order to take off, right?
Yeah.
It's called rotation speed. So you get to that speed, you can pull back and take off. So that's the way faith is more like that than it is gravity in one sense of the word, because the law of lift has to be worked. You understand? The law of gravity, you don't have to do anything. It's just working all the time.
Right?
Right? But the law of lift, you have to put some energy into it in order to get it to work. And that's the way the law of faith is.
Yeah.
You got to put some spiritual energy. And really, right here's where you got to put the energy.
Right. Yeah. In your mouth. Come on.
You got to say it. Jesus said you'll have what you say if you don't doubt in your heart. That's a spiritual law. That's Jesus is stating the law of faith there.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Romans 10 states the law of faith also. This verse here, we just quoted Proverbs chapter 18 is stating the law of faith. Romans 3 stating the law of faith.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Now, in the Bible, Paul in Romans, no, where is it? Galatians, no, Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians 3 verse number 1. Paul said, go over there. Praise God. Praise the Lord. This is just simple teaching we haven't done for a while. But it's important that you and I hear some of this. Galatians chapter number, what did I say? Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 1. It says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, and so forth and so on. If you've heard the dispensation of the grace of God, if you've heard the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, I don't know if you got a different translation or not, but newer translation will better translate it. It's not dispensation in newer translations. In newer translations, it'll probably say stewardship. Anybody got a translation that says stewardship? I heard somebody say it. Stewardship. And that's what the Greek actually says. Stewardship. Because if you've heard of the stewardship of the grace of God, which is given unto me, and he goes down in there from verse number 2, he goes down in verse 8, he said that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. When he says I was given the stewardship of the grace of God, he's talking about I was given the stewardship of preaching this. In other words, I was assigned to preach the grace of God. And then he said in verse 8 what it is. Y'all still listening to me? Verse 8. See, this is more of a teaching flow. I've been in the teaching flow all week, and I'm still in it. If you want me out of it, then pray. I don't know what else to tell you to do. But the dispensation of, or the stewardship, in other words, of the message of the grace of God. And then he said, I'm assigned to preach that. Then he said in verse number 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should, in other words, the grace to preach it, the grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles, notice what he calls it, the unsearchable riches of Christ. You ever heard the definition of grace? God's riches at Christ's expense?
Yes.
Of course you have.
Yes.
It's as old as the 1970s. Amen. Amen. Some of you young people just haven't been around long enough to hear it maybe, but it used to be said all the time. But so he said the riches of of Christ. I'm here to preach the riches of Christ. He's talking about everything that God did in Christ.
Yes.
All the in Christ realities.
Amen.
All the in Christ righteousness, in Christ blessed, in Christ seated, in Christ recreated. Amen. In Christ new creation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
All that the grace of God did for us. In Christ healed. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
In Christ, restored from, redeemed from condemnation.
Yeah.
And on and on and on and on. Everything in Christ.
Yeah.
He actually started out the first chapter of Ephesians talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the in Christ, many of the in Christ realities. Amen.
Amen.
So, anyway, praise God. This is what God committed to him. All right, come back to Romans chapter number... Romans chapter number 10. Romans, so Paul's telling us what he preached. Look at the Romans chapter number 10. Romans 10 verse 8. But what says it? What says it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach.
Yeah.
Well, I thought he said he preached the grace of God.
Right.
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm.
But he also preached faith.
Yes.
People today are saying, which camp are you in, the grace camp or the faith camp? Yes.
Yes,
yes, I'm in both of them.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Paul preached not only, see, grace is God's part.
Right.
I said grace is God's part. Grace is what God gave to you freely without you doing anything.
Yeah. Yes.
Grace is God's gift to you.
Yes, sir.
But see, it's not enough that God did his part.
Come on. Yeah.
Amen.
I said it's not enough that God did his part.
Yes,
if God doing his part was enough, then all of us, everywhere, not just us here in church, but everywhere, all over the world, every human being saved.
Right.
They're saved now and they're all going to go to heaven.
Right.
Is that true? All of us are going to go to heaven?
No.
I even heard one guy say he thinks the devil's going to get saved.
Jesus.
Well, you're just so extreme in your teachings that you're deceived.
Yeah.
Praise God. I mean, not praise God, but right? No, it's not enough that God provided something by his grace.
Right. Yeah.
See, what he gave to us by grace, that's his provision of things.
Yes.
But the fact that he provided it's not enough.
Right.
That's why Paul didn't just preach grace.
Right.
But he also preached faith.
Right.
He said, I've been committed to the dispensation or the stewardship of preaching the grace of God. Amen. And Peter over there in his writings, he said, there's some things Paul wrote that are hard to understand.
Yeah.
Amen. Because really that revelation was given to Paul. Peter had a little bit of revelation, but not near as much as Paul. But anyway, so Paul preached the grace of God, but he didn't just preach the grace of God. He preached faith.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And there's nobody that's preaching the grace of God today that's preaching the whole message of God's word.
Right.
Uh-huh. Well, they didn't get it over there. I'll just preach it over here. You might be able to catch up on this side this week. There's nobody preaching grace. I mean, that's all they preach.
Yeah.
They're preaching the whole counsel of God's word. Because
yes,
grace is God's side.
Right. Come on.
But God did everything he did, and you can still die and go to hell.
Yes.
Because it's not enough what God did. You got to respond to what God did. You've got to respond to what God did. What'd he do? He provided salvation. He provided deliverance from sin. He provided deliverance from sickness. He provided the blessing of the Lord that makes rich. All these things, all of them are provided. But what are you going to do now? Mix your faith with it. Mix your faith with it. Mix your faith with it. That's why some of these statements people make are not scripture, and you ought to tune people out that say these things. It's just all God. It's just all God. It's all up to him. 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 No, it's not all up to him. You have to respond to what he did. And that response is faith. Amen. Bible said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned.
That's right.
So there must be some part man has to do to be saved. And if you read on here, we said, Romans 10:8 talks about the word of faith which we preach. He goes on to describe the word of faith or the law of faith. That if thou shalt confess, oh my goodness, thou hast to do something. With thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. So man doing something, man responding to what grace provided causes him to be saved. No wonder Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace are you saved through faith. Grace and faith. Listen to me. What God did by his grace and him telling you about it is his invitation to you to come to the dance with your faith. God's by grace saying, come on, let's dance. No, God, you do it all. No, you got to come and respond to me. You got to step. You two people that are dancing, they keep step. At least that's what I'm told. I never did it. They got to keep step, right? Right? Can't step on each other's toes. They got to keep step. And when God said, here's what I did by my grace, it's basically an invitation. Come on out onto the dance floor and dance with me by your faith. In other words, stay in step with what I did by my grace. Stay in step with it with your faith.
Come on.
If I said, this is yours, you agree and said, that's mine. I believe it. I receive it. I confess it. Yeah, thank you, Lord. It's so. Grace and faith need to dance.
Amen.
Grace and faith need to dance. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So it's not just God doing it all. People say, well, it's just all up to God. People that get over into the extreme teachings of grace, they say it's just all up to God. Well, if it's all up to God, then tell the children of Israel that whenever God said, I've given you the land of Canaan, go in and possess it. They couldn't stand back and say it's all up to God. In fact, that first generation died because they didn't respond to what God did for them. Or provided for them. Remember, he said in Deuteronomy 1:8-21, different verses, I've given you the land, go in and possess it. Glory to God. I'm a possessor. I'm a taker. I'm a receiver. I'm a man that mixes faith with the word of God, mixes faith with the grace of God. Praise the Lord. You getting anything out of this morning? So when he says the law of faith and says in Romans 10, with thy heart you believe, with the mouth confession is made unto, verse 10, Romans 10:10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation is, and righteousness are provided. It's a free gift. You don't have to earn it by your works, but you do have to receive it. You do have to mix your faith with it.
Right.
Amen. Amen. So anybody that's preaching grace alone and not faith, they're not preaching the whole counsel of God's word.
Yes,
amen. Amen. Because people get into extremes. What's happening today, basically, in some circles, not everybody, but some circles, what's happening today is it's just a repackaged sovereignty doctrine. Anything that keeps you away from the message of faith, I'll tell you to be honest with you. I've been thinking about this for over a year, and I've been saying, well, is this too strong to say it this way? And I have the release of the Spirit. I got it out in California this week, to be honest with you. I have the release of the Spirit to say it. Are you out there? Anything that preaches only grace and refuses to preach faith. Now listen to me, because some of this is going to make some of you a little upset. It is a demon spirit. A religious demon spirit.
Come on.
Amen. Do you have scripture for that? Well, how long do you have? 1 Timothy 4:1. 1 Timothy 4:1. In the last days, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter days, some shall depart. King James says from the faith. Right. The is not in there in the Greek. Shall depart from faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. I didn't plan on getting on this morning. But it's true. And listen, it's in epidemic proportions in our church age today. Amen. Amen. So that's one verse, and Hebrews 3:10 is another verse. Along with a verse in 1 John, but Hebrews 3:10 talks about the children of Israel and God's commentary on that first generation that wouldn't go in. And this is referenced to us in our day. It's referenced to us over and over again. In fact, Hebrews chapter 3, chapter 4, all the way down through there, it refers us to this over and over again. It says, don't do this. Don't do this. Don't be like this. He's talking about the children of Israel not going in, that first generation not going in and possessing Canaan's land. Don't do that. Don't be like them. That's what the whole third and fourth chapter of Hebrews is all about. And other places where it talks about don't murmur as they did and were destroyed of the destroyer. You know, over and over we're told don't do like what they did at Kadesh Barnea. Don't do like what they did. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. I have no pleasure in that. Just don't. Amen. Look at what it says here in commentary on that first generation. God said he was grieved with that generation, said they do always err in their heart and they've not known my ways.
Yes.
Look at that. They err in their heart. Err. Say err. Say it again, error. What is the longer form of that word? Error. Error. Say error. They err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. In the context, what is he talking about when he said my ways? He's talking about the way he was planning to get them into Canaan's land,
right.
Which was their faith. That's what the whole third and fourth chapter goes on to talk about. Come on, somebody. All the Bible scholars know what I'm talking about. So, but he goes in, like you're in the third chapter, keep on going over there. And he said in verse 17, but with whom was he grieved for 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that what?
Believe not.
So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear. That's talking now to you and me. Be reverent towards these things, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of us should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. The word preached was not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Okay, somebody said, well, I've received the gospel. Which part are you talking about? You've received the part of salvation. Have you received the part of the redemption from sickness and disease?
Yeah, come on.
See, there's more to the gospel than just, you know,
right.
A ticket to heaven.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Amen.
There's a whole lot in the gospels. Remember the chastisement of our peace, you know, Isaiah 53, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Right? That's a part of the gospel. The chastisement of our peace was on him, so we don't have to have a chastised peace. We can have peace. Peace in our soul. There's a whole part of the gospel for your soul, your mind, your emotions. There's freedom for your mind and emotions in the gospel. Hallelujah. And then we know the Bible talks about, the gospel. Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. And then we've got 1 Corinthians 8 and 9. I don't know if you want to be so scriptural or not. Maybe you want to be partial scriptural. But it talks about the gospel that Jesus was made poor that we might be rich. And that's not in the context. That's not talking about poor spiritually. It's talking about poor financially.
That's right.
And we're redeemed from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham, that's part of the gospel.
Right. Yeah.
You go back a few verses, he adds that into the gospel. In the third chapter there, in verses 7, 8, and 9, down and through there, he adds this into the gospel. So we're going over things, a lot of things real fast. But see, people say, I've already, you know, fulfilled here in Hebrews chapter number 4. If the gospel is preached as well as unto them, verse 2, the word preached did not profit them. Well, I've already profited from the gospel. Well, the part that maybe you think is the gospel, what about the rest of the parts?
Amen.
You understand? There's more to the gospel than just salvation from sin.
Right.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the warning there was, don't err from my ways. And then notice he said, I'm here in Hebrews chapter number 4. Look at verse number 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So mixing faith with the gospel. The gospel is the good news of what God did for us in Christ.
Amen.
That's the good news. See, the gospel is the message of grace.
Yes. Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So what do we do with the message of grace? We mix our faith with it. I told Pastor Nancy, I said, it dawned on me one day. I told her this a number of years ago. I said, it dawned on me one day when we were in healing school, preaching to those that came for healing in healing school, Kenneth Hagin Ministries. I said, it dawned on me, we're preaching faith all the time. I said, and it dawned on me, faith for healing doesn't come by hearing the message of faith.
Right.
That's right.
Sure. Come on. That's good.
Yeah. Some of you are thinking deeper than you normally do.
Come on.
I'm talking about in the Word.
Right.
In the Word. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Right. You get faith for whatever you hear. You hear teaching on faith all the time, you get confidence that your faith will work.
Right.
I said, it dawned on me, we're not really preaching in healing school and seemingly led to keep preaching on faith.
Right.
We keep preaching on faith and not preaching as much. We always mix it in all the time about what Jesus did for us in Christ while we're preaching, just like we're doing today.
Amen.
Mixing it in all the time. But that's never been really the emphasis. Whenever we were in healing school, it was never really the emphasis. The emphasis was faith.
Right.
And I said, I went to the Lord. I was talking to Pastor Nancy about this time of prayer I had a number of years ago, just kind of bouncing it off of her because I like to hear what people that I trust and the things that God have to say about what I believe God said to me. I said, I went to the Lord and asked him about it. I said, now, Lord, are we missing it here? Because we're not preaching on as much on the fact that we're always saying it and looking at verses, but it's never been the main thrust of the message.
Yeah.
What God did in Christ in that he put our sicknesses on Jesus.
Right.
Praise God.
Praise
he
God.
Bore our sicknesses and carried our pain. Amen. You understand what I mean by...
Yeah.
We always interlace it in there, but it's never really the main thrust. And I went to the Lord. I said, maybe we should change that. And the Lord said, no, keep doing this is me prompting you, because that's what I'm getting prompted to do, and others. He said, no. He said, and this is what he told me. He said, those that are coming here, the reason they're coming here is because they've sat under Brother Hagin's ministry, and they've heard what redemption has given them. Amen. So they know what grace has provided. Where they're missing it is mixing their faith with it. Mixing their faith with it. Now, if this is if everything that happens in our life is going to be a dance with God and us. See, grace is God's part. Faith is man's part. Right? And he and you are going to have to dance. We're going to have to keep in step with grace, what he did by grace, by mixing our faith with what he did. So if that's true, and it's going to be a cooperation, so to speak, or a joint working together with God on everything that happens in our life, and everything that happens, probably 90 to 97% of everything that happens in my life, it's not just something God just did for me without me being involved some way. It'd be safe to say that the vast majority of everything that happens for you is going to happen as a result of you believing God.
Right.
Well, I don't want it that way. Okay, well, let's pray you die. We'll just... That's kind of bold, but we don't want you to die. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But anyway, if that's the case, and it's going to be God and us working together, who do you think, if anything fails, who do you think is going to fail? Hmm? Huh? Well, every now and then you just don't know, right? No. There might be things you think God failed, but none of us will stand before Him. And when we go to heaven, stand before Him and look Him in the face, say, "You didn't do what you told me you would do."
Come on.
Down here, sometimes we think, you know, well, bless God, what's the... But that's not the case.
Come on.
Praise the Lord. All the humble people said, "Amen, Pastor."
Amen.
None of us. But see, if anything that needs to be watched over, if there's any part of this whole thing that we're working with God on needs to be watched over, it's our side. It's our side. So watch over your faith. Watch over. Are you growing in faith? Paul said our faith can grow exceedingly. Are you growing? Are you releasing it more? Are you meditating? Are you feeding it? Are you learning to hold fast to the confession of your faith? And I don't mean whenever everything feels good, but I mean whenever it just feels like there's nothing but, you know, failure all around you.
Right.
Holding fast. Are you good at that? Do you know how to do that? That's why we teach on faith, so people can get good at their part.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I want to get good at my part. God's already good at His part. Amen. I might have to get good. Remember, you know, I told you about me planting things out on my land, and I just, well, what the bag says doesn't matter. I'm going to do it my way, because the bag has instructions on it, you know. Plant it a quarter inch deep. Make sure it's got this much fertilizer, nitrogen, phosphorus, potash. You got to do a soil test. I don't need to do a soil test.
Come on.
Right.
I can just drag something over it. It'll grow. Huh? And I struggled. But last year, after I finally surrendered, you should have seen. We had a dry year last year. Remember, last year was just bone dry, almost all. Maybe not in the spring, but bone dry. And I had me a crop of, what do you call those things? Turnips and radishes. That tall out of the ground. I should show you a picture on the screen of the radishes. Radishes, I'm talking about the root part, you know, that you eat. Radishes that long in a drought. Yeah. I got pictures to prove it. And they have a time stamp on them. I can show them to you. Hallelujah. Because I finally said, all right, Uncle.
Come on.
And that's what I sense people are doing sometimes in the body of Christ. They never got to that place. All right. It's a matter of faith, Uncle.
Come on. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, come on.
Because the other, come on, somebody. Boy, it takes some people kicking and dragging and screaming to get to that place sometimes. But, you know, we're here to help. Amen?
Yeah.
Thank God. I'm interested in faith.
Yes.
Tell your neighbor, I'm interested in faith. Praise God. Religion does not lack faith. Anytime people start getting religious again, they slip away from faith and go back to sovereignty. Okay, I heard three amens over here. I'm going to preach to this side for the rest of the service. Come on, that's exactly right. This is a message that has responsibility in it on our side. Some folks don't like that responsibility. Some people are sincere, they just don't know. We're not talking about everybody. But some people, they don't like the responsibility. Well, it's just all up to God. Well, it sounds religious, but sorry, honey. It ain't the truth. I can't lie to you, right? I can't tell you something's not true. That first generation of Israel found that out. It's not just all up to God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So we've got to recognize our side, be willing to do our part. Well, it just takes effort. Exactly. That's your first revelation right there. There you go. It takes effort. Just remember those dynamos on the airplane wing? Well, why can't we just coast? It just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. So you got to start saying it. Start meditating on the word. Discipline your thought life to think only in line with the word. Hold fast to the confession of your faith whenever you don't feel like it. I told you about the time I injured my back back in 2020. Well, probably I didn't have to tell some of you because I'm walking sort of like this, you know. And I said, I never forget it. One morning I got up because it wasn't just a little, you know, sleep it off for a day or two and it'll go away. This is bad.
Yeah.
Right. And so I remember waking up one morning early in the morning and the Lord challenged me all the way down to the core of my being. He said, if you let this be this, stay this way, then I'll have to let it stay this way.
That's good. Oh,
yeah. He put it back on me.
Yeah.
Remember that verse, whatever, Matthew 18:18. Yeah. King James says, whatever you bind is bound, whatever you loose is loose. Some translations say, whatever you allow will have to be allowed.
Come on.
That's what he told me. If you allow this, then that's just, I have to allow it.
Yeah.
Come on.
So people say, well, God allowed it. Yeah, because you allowed it. He has to allow what you allow or has to allow what I allow. That challenged me all the way down to my toes. Because here I was, it had been about a week at that time. A week of hurt. I mean, not hurt. I mean, you know, can I go lay down now? It was bad. And so I got on top of it, and I didn't feel a thing. There's times you just don't feel a thing. But I just started mixing my faith with the word. Thank God for the redemption that's mine from sickness and pain. He took mine from me. He's bore my sicknesses and my pains. Pains is mentioned there. And I got on it, and it started fading away. That's the same thing that happened whenever I hurt my neck. I told you about it. I couldn't hardly sleep for an hour. I had about 7 pillows. Remember that time? I don't even know what happened. Something injured my neck somehow. And I couldn't sleep more than an hour. With 7 pillows trying to stay in the, you know, trying to get enough freedom from pain to sleep. So after an hour, every night for an hour, I'd sleep. In an hour, I'd get up and I'd walk the floor, believe in God. And get enough relief using my faith to lay down again and get some sleep. That went on for, I think, 3 nights. Finally, I decided, I'm not getting back in that bed. I'm laying hold of this now. I've had enough of this. See, God wasn't holding out on me. It's just I had to really get serious and lay hold of the thing. And I said, all right, here goes. And I just said, I'm walking this floor, praising God and thanking God for what I believe grace provided for me, laying hold of it like I'm supposed to until the pain leaves. And I never forget about an hour and a half. See, I had been going an hour and then quitting an hour. But after about an hour and a half, I never forget it. I felt it. It just something started ministering. I could feel it in my neck. And probably 80 to 90% of the pain dissipated right there. Went to bed and slept the whole night, and the rest of that next day, the rest of it just dissipated and went away. Hallelujah. I wasn't waiting on God. He's waiting on me. Well, stand with me to your feet. Praise the Lord. So what God did for us by His grace is an invitation to come dance with Him, with our faith. Did you get that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I had the Lord tell a friend of mine. In fact, 3 of us ministers in FOF, some of us in FOF over the last, let's see, 22, that's 2 years. In the last 3 years, 2 years, excuse me, the last 2 years, over the last 2 years, 3 of us ministers, God has dealt with in a very specific way. Me back last year before I went to Nigeria. A very specific way about the message of faith. The first one, a friend of mine said he was out at in the pool. This is a proof positive. You need to go swim in the pool. You know, relax, relax in the pool. He said he was in the pool just relaxing, and he said the Lord said to him, "If I said." Now, this is tight, but it's right. I don't know. It's just a different service this morning. If I said that without faith it's impossible to please me, Why would I ever send anybody to a church that doesn't preach faith? That's a question we need to answer. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. And the other two are too tight, so you might not be able to handle it, but it's the word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So it's a responsibility, yes, but listen, it's a delight to do our part. It's a delight. We don't have to see the hardness of it. How many of you know my yoke is easy, my burden is light? It's a responsibility, but it's not a burden, you might say. Does that make any sense? So we have a part. Praise God. Just not all up to God. Like people say, it's just all up to God. We're just leaving it all up to God. Well, no, really you're not. You're opening the door for the devil to do what he wants to do is really what's happening. Amen. Well, if you're still glad you came, shout a little bit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I remember one time, and I didn't realize I was doing it. Have you ever had the Lord talk to you, and what he said to you kind of revealed the way you were approaching him? You didn't realize the way you were approaching him? I remember he said to me one time, because I was praying and talking to him about finances. You've heard me say this, I think. He said to me, and when he said it, I realized the way I was approaching him. He said, because I was talking to him about finances, he said, if you don't have it, it's not my fault.
Right, true, yeah, it's good, come on.
And I realized, whenever he said that I was going to him in prayer going, God, you've never done that.
That's so good.
Come on, yeah.
Over here they grunted, but what about over here? You ever done that?
Yeah.
God?
Yeah.
Any day now.
Yeah, done it.
And him saying that made me see so clearly what I was doing. Yeah. If you don't have it, it's not my fault.
Right.
How many of you know he did what he needed to do by putting my poverty on Jesus? He's waiting for me to mix my faith with that. But I wasn't mixing faith. I wasn't taking my place. I was like, God, you know, waiting on you. No, he's waiting on our faith. If you read the Amplified of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3, it says that things are waiting on our faith.
Yeah.
Amplified Classic. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But it's a joy to do this. I've gotten to see so many of the blessings of God walk in this way. And it's my choice. I had the students this week. I preached some of this at the beginning of the week. And I said to some of the students, I said, now, this is, you know, when it says the just shall live by faith, the just shall. He's saying, this is my choice for my people, how they should live. That's what he said. The just shall live by. That's why he said that. This is the way I choose. This is the life that he has chosen for us to live. A life of faith.
Right.
A life of not just getting saved by faith. A life of faith. And so it's his choice because he wants to do so much for us. And this is the lifestyle that cooperates with him. And opens the door. Listen to that. Opens the door for him to do what he wants to do in our lives. If I had not opened the door to aviation, we'd be driving today. Because I never finished that story. Remember that story? I don't have time to finish it now, but you know the rest of the story. So I changed to what we were saying. What's the good of the land? Aviation, he said, if you obey me, then it's going to require aviation. And so don't set anything else in motion now. So I started saying aviation. I didn't talk a lot about it because I wasn't pleasing you. I was pleasing him. Till time came to say something. So here we are right in the middle of aviation. It just seems like a dream almost. Glory to God. And so, but see, we opened the door to that. Somebody said, look what Pastor and Pastor Debbie did. No, God did that. But he had to have us open the door. I'm the door opener for God. You ever been to a hotel? You ever gone to, I don't know, maybe you haven't, but you know the hotels have, some hotels have joining doors. You don't have to go through the front door, go out in the hall to go to the next room. You can just open it. Maybe you and your cousins went to the beach together, and they're staying over there, and you're staying in one room, right? And you have to open the door to get into that other room. But have you ever noticed there's a door on both sides? There's a door. There's a hotel, because those doors are back to back. And you can open your door, but if they don't want you in their room, they can close their door. Jesus in Revelation said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And we always think that's sinners he's writing to, but you look at the right who he's written, he's writing to the church. What? The church. He's not welcoming the church. Well, there's a lot of things people don't welcome into the church. Some people don't welcome healing into the church. He's standing at the door, knock, knock, knock.
Come on.
They're fully saved, but they're not receiving healing. Knock, knock, knock. Well, see, so which door is he knocking on? On his side, his door's open. He's knocking on their door. Remember, Jesse Duplantis sang that for us. Somebody's knocking on the door. Praise the Lord. So you got to, Jesus, grace opened the doors on God's side. You got to open the door on your side. Open the door of faith. Open the door of faith. Hallelujah. And so we open the door to God in the area of aviation by just continuing to say it. And look at God. Look at God. Man, look at God. Praise the Lord. So that's what we do. That's what our faith does. It opens the door. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. Oh, we rejoice in it, Father. It is a joy to walk with you. To walk with you. Father, the best life you have for us is the life of faith. That's why you said this is your plan for us. You have so much you long to do. Father, we choose this life because you choose it. You chose it. It's been your plan for your people ever since the Old Testament. So since this is your choice for us, it's our choice today. We choose the life of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say that out loud. I choose the life of faith. Hallelujah. What's that mean? That means we're not going to walk by feelings. We're not going to walk by circumstances. Right? We're going to walk by faith. I told the students, I said, since this is God's choice for you, then you make the choice to live by faith. And then I said, how many of you are making a heart choice right now? Because this is the first week of their Bible school. Some of them, you know, some of the students now are coming out of denominational churches, the World Harvest Bible Training Center. So this is all kind of brand new to them. So I said, since this is God's choice for you, then you choose this. And if you're from your heart willing to choose that, then raise your hand. All their hands went up. Okay, I said, I got you on record. Not only do I have you on record, I said, God has you on record. So from now on, you're interested in the message of faith. You're interested in the message. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And then some of the things that walking by faith required, we got into it in the week as it went on. And I said, I saw your hand. You're interested. Because it took some discipline, you know. Amen. Takes some discipline. But I'm interested in that. You see, we got to have spiritual discipline just like we have natural discipline. Anybody have the discipline of not overspending? Oh, we better preach on that. Look at that. That's you know, you got an income of so many $1,000, but you just put twice that much on a credit card every month. You got a discipline not to do that, hopefully. Please say amen. Right? You got some discipline, certain disciplines in your natural life. There's got to be some disciplines in your spiritual life. So, but you're interested. You said you were interested. Just all of you raised your hand, right? So we're interested. And discipline, it calls for instruction. It calls for correction. It calls for sometimes rebuke, right? But we want it all. We want it all. Whatever it takes for us to get over into the best God has for us. The good life. The good life that he's planned for us. Greet somebody and tell them, that's me, that's you. That's the life we've chosen to live. Living by faith.